This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What the jobs numbers say about the economy. From Marketplace, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer in for David Brancaccio. It's a big week for jobs data. On Wednesday, we get the latest job openings and labor turnover survey. That report will tell us how many layoffs there were in November. Some industries have been letting workers go, but that isn't necessarily a sign the broader economy is slowing down. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
The number of layoffs has remained well below where it was before the pandemic. And in October, hiring outpaced layoffs at a rate of 4-1. Menzi Chen, an economics professor at the University of Wisconsin, says many companies still need to hold on to workers.
I think you need a much higher ratio of layoffs to hiring in order to be alarmed.
And even though many big tech and finance companies have been cutting jobs, weekly unemployment claims data show that people aren't staying unemployed for long. Kathy Bosjancic is chief economist at Nationwide.
So what that indicates is that even if someone becomes unemployed, they're reasonably able to secure new jobs.
If the economy slows down and consumer spending falls, Bosjancic says companies are more likely to pull back on hiring first.
Profit margins shrink, revenue growth slows, then that's going to hit corporate bottom line. And then they're going to pull back on hiring in a more significant way.
Bosjancic says if that happens and layoffs start to ramp up, then it's time to worry about a recession. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
The International Monetary Fund has offered another bleak outlook for the economic year ahead. The head of the IMF, Kristalina Georgieva, thinks a third of the global economy will be in recession this year. Speaking on CBS this weekend, she said 2023 will be tougher for the global economy than last year. Bill Blaine is a strategist and head of alternative assets at Shard Capital in London.
I think it's a very interesting comment from the IMF to start the year. It's a good wake up and smell the coffee moment. Markets tend to think that if you have a bad year, inevitably it will be followed by a good year. But of course, we all know that doesn't necessarily follow. So for the IMF to turn around and say, look, there is a significant chance that even though labor markets are fairly strong around the globe, the kind of jobs that are being created are not necessarily high paying, and we're going to have recession, we're not going to see interest rates fall as rapidly as the markets think. So that's going to create a whole series of consequences that are going to keep markets on tenterhooks for the whole, well, at least the first half of 2023. And I don't think it's going to get that much better through the second half either.
That's Bill Blaine of Shard Capital speaking with our editorial partners at the BBC. Let's do the numbers. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. The CAC 40 index in France is more than a point higher. U.S. stock and bond markets are closed today for the holiday. . 2022 was a wild year for the crypto industry, from the collapse of major exchanges like FTX to dramatic declines in the price of some of the most popular tokens. It's left many wondering what the future holds. The BBC's Will Bain took a look and filed this report for us.
Brother David, behold the fork.
I got 10 forks right here, baby.
Like I was saying, it's FTX. It's a safe and easy way to get into crypto.
I don't think so. And I'm never wrong about this stuff.
Never.
It seems amazing that a year which started with that Super Bowl ad, crypto's mainstream moment.
New chaos in the world of cryptocurrency.
Spiraled FTX rapidly into this.
By declaring bankruptcy this week.
This is insane. Over the last week, over $8.7 billion has been withdrawn from Binance.
Coinbase has reported a larger than expected quarter.
For one platform boss, this year felt like crypto's 2008 financial crash moment.
Yeah, I think that's a good analogy, if you want to be real.
Mark Hipperson is the CEO and co-founder of the British firm Ziglu, a platform that offers traditional banking and FX trading, as well as allowing its users to buy and sell crypto assets. He's clear about what he thinks has gone wrong.
It's not about crypto per se. It's about core governance. It's about people coming into financial services businesses without a huge amount of experience, of quite a lot of power and responsibility, but without the understanding of what good governance, what good risk management, what good compliance are required. So I don't think it's about cryptocurrency. Your question's valid in terms of, is it the crypto industry's point of, I guess, crash? Well, you could very much say that.
High-profile collapses and violent swings in cryptocurrency values have left some users searching for vast amounts of their cash, like Evan Luthro in India, who's still trying to get his money back after FTX's collapse.
I lost just over $2 million when the exchange went down. I did request some withdrawals, but none of them processed. I don't have any of those transaction records because FTX, you can't access it anymore.
In the teeth of the crisis, some are doubling down, though, even presidents of countries, as my colleague Joe Tidy explained after a visit to El Salvador.
This is the first country to make Bitcoin legal tender, and you'd think the way that things have gone in 2022, that might change. But President Bukele has stuck to his guns, and instead of backing away from Bitcoin, he's buying more. He has a kind of inbuilt hatred of the dollar. And that is something that they wish they didn't have to do. They want to be independent from the US. They want to be independent from financial regulation.
But when the value of Bitcoin, for example, has fallen more than 70% in just over a year, if it was your actual currency, you might feel like these protesters in San Salvador.
People in my country are hardworking and poor. We are not ready for Bitcoin.
The government wants to impress the world, but they've stolen from public resources, from people's taxes, to buy Bitcoin.
It seems inevitable that more regulation is on the way, something people like Irene Tingali, who heads up the European Parliament's work on crypto, are already looking at.
We would hope for a global regulation, but we know how difficult it is. I see that the debate in the United States, it's very heated. We don't want to impede or kill innovation, but we need to protect consumers, and that's why we are putting these regulations in place.
Can crypto survive then, even thrive again? Well, that's a story for 2023. I'm the BBC's Will Bain for Marketplace.
Will and his team at the BBC spent last week looking at the story of crypto throughout 2022. You can find that coverage online at marketplace.org or in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.